entrepreneurs, what's going on? Traditional universities are outdated and don't teach you how to become an entrepreneur. They just teach you how to become an employee.
You go to school for 4 years and you leave with nothing but debt. But here at EYL University, our curriculum is much different.
Our university teaches you real-world skills that you can use to gain financial freedom right away. In traditional universities, you learn from professors that have never did what they teach, and they teach you how to become an employee. At our university, we use instructors that are currently successful in a specific field that they teach, and they teach you how to become an entrepreneur.
For a limited time only, you can join EYL University for 25% off of the annual membership. Learn about stocks, credit, real estate, crypto, and more. Go to EYLUniversity.com right now and sign up to become an earner.
Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop. All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is a special episode for us. We are in lovely Los Angeles.
And what a view.
Yeah. LA.
Yes. So anytime we get a chance to connect with entrepreneurs, it's always an honor and a pleasure. But this has backstory to it, and we love the backstory. So Mark Cuban, shout out to Mark.
You might know him.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
The first of our billionaire editions.
The first billionaire to come on our platform. And he, when he came on EYL, he spoke about a company that he invested in called Twisted Up. And he gave the whole story. He talked about the founder, Noel. And fast forward a year and some change, we are interviewing the partners of that company, Twisted Up, Noel and Ace. So not only are they the first company that have been on Shark Tank,
mm-hmm.
that have been on EYL.
Yeah. Hey, we're the first.
Breaking news alert.
Hey. What up, Mom?
Ground.
Yeah.
That's but what's up.
They're also, I believe, the first company that we've had that have hair products, right? In the hair industry.
First company, yeah. We had Wade, who has some products. Yeah, but
he's a barber.
Yeah, he's a barber. This is different.
Oh, Wade the barber?
Yeah.
You know
oh, bro. Yeah, that's my dude, man.
You know
him?
Wade?
Yeah. So I met him when I was first starting the Brown Brothers in 2017. He was just starting the hair units, man. Yeah.
I didn't get one.
Just yo.
For the record.
Yo, he's dope, man.
Shout out to Wade. Yeah.
Shout out to Wade. Cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Wade.
Wade Mendez.
But the hair industry is a $1 billion industry, especially for black people.
Yep.
Facts.
Black women, black men, huge, huge industry. Unfortunately, we don't own vast majority of hair products, the hair industry.
All the salons.
Even though we spend so much money on it. So this is going to be a dope, dope conversation. So first and foremost, thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yep.
Yeah,
what an introduction, cool. man.
So let's go.
I'm going to say this right now. EYL, Nobel Peace Prize 2024.
Make it happen.
Put it out there.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get into this. I want to talk about Twisted Up. But before that, I want to just go into back. But I just want to preference it. So Twisted Up, you guys have like tennis rackets on your shirt.
Yes,
so, I'm glad you got it. Yeah, you have it.
Fits in your pocket.
So, all right. So before we get into the backstory, tell me what this is. What is this?
It was something that birthed out of necessity to help me twist my hair, right? To wear your hair natural. As you know, as a culture, outside of braids, cornrows, dreadlocks, there wasn't really anything that we had that can to wear my hair naturally. And I was using a competitor product, a curl sponge. And, you know, we get a lot of rap that we don't like curl sponges. Like, I love curl sponges. And if you're going to use one, like, I would give one a shout out. Use New Dread because he's the founder. He's the one that started it.
The original.
Black owned, the original. And he's been knocked off, and it's just sad. I just wanted something that was a little bit better, more hygienic, something that can clean, fits in your pocket. Because when you go to a club and they say, take off your hat.
Still look good.
My hair is mad, bro. I wanted to figure out how to do my hair.
It's tough to go to a club with a sponge.
Correct. You can't. Yeah. It don't fit at all.
They're going to pat you down like, what is that, bro?
Correct. Exactly. So I just wanted something that was sleek, something that can be clean, fits in your pocket, and I didn't have to replace it as much.
Yeah. So, all right. How did you come up with the idea? Because if you're listening to audio, you can't see it. The best way I can describe it, it looks like a tennis racket without a handle.
Yeah, it's just a small. You shrink it, man. It's a small tennis racket.
So what did you?
Yeah, it looks like it could be like a badminton racket for table tennis.
Bro, I was
for ping pong.
I was using a tennis racket for about 3 years to do my hair.
So you were walking around with a tennis racket?
I bought three of them. I had one in my car, one in the gym, and one at my girl's house.
So,
no, this is the true story.
This is actually how we met.
So how did you get that? I love entrepreneurship because it's all about innovation and things that people, you got to have an imagination to be an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I can't take credit for that, bro. My cousin came in.
With the tennis racket?
Bro, it was an after midnight conversation. Probably had one too many, you know, something. came in. He's like, bro, did you know that you can get your hair twisted with a racket?
So can you show how you do this?
Yeah, bro. You can, you just pick out your hair or you just literally just go in a circle. And it just makes these twists, man. Like
it just twists it up how your hair is twisted right now.
Yeah. From an afro to a twist. We got before and after shots. You can go on YouTube. We got a bunch of videos that show about it. And it's just crazy. Like, the story is just, man. Yeah.
I mean, so like you're like a real racket. I used to teach phys ed.
Yeah, I use a real tennis racket.
And so like you're going to stores with the racket? Like you're going out at night, like I'm gonna have a racket in my car and
so
I had one in my car.
Yeah. So like when we first met, he was like, yo, we were playing basketball at 25.
I was giving him buckets, by the way.
Lies. Preference.
Lies. <Yeah. laughs> he was like, yo, how do you get your hair this way? And at the time I was toying with the idea of shrinking it. And I was like, bro, like I'm going to tell you this because you're cool, but you can't tell like nobody, right? Because I'm trying to figure this out. He's like, all right, what is it? I mean, you know, we went to the locker room.
And you put the
racket to I felt like we was doing like some illegal stuff. Going me to the locker room real quick. Yeah, I got to show you.
Put out the tennis racket, bro. Because for me, it was a necessity, man. Yeah. Like I wanted to wear my hair naturally, and I was tired of putting the texturizers in my hair, and I wanted my hair to be done, and it worked. Like in a minute, 2 minutes, my hair was like done. Nice. And for a culture, without my hair being short, I've never had that. Like even picking out my hair hurts, right? I've never had a way to just to take off my hair, take off my hat, and just.
So previously, for you to get your hair to that, you would have to do it yourself and twist it?
Oh, no, I used a sponge.
Yeah, the thing with our kids using. Like,
yeah.
I think not
my only thing is that when it's in the gym bag or it's everywhere, like, you ever just thought, like, since the dawn of time, like, have you ever seen, like, a black sponge? Like, the reason why a curl sponge is black is just because it hides the dirt. And again, I'm not talking, like, messing the company. Like, I love the product. Without it, I never would have created it, right? But I just needed a better mousetrap for me. I was replacing it way too much. I was spending somewhere north of like $30 to $40 on a haircut every 2 weeks. And then I was spending anywhere between $10 to $15 on a sponge every 10 days. So in a month, I'm spending $100 on my hair, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, when they do it in a barbershop, I'm not sure if it's the most hygienic thing to do, right? Because it's like you get a cut, they put the sponge in my head. My son gets the cut, they put the sponge in his head.
You can't clean it. You can't clean it after you use it.
Across the United States, every state has a fine for reusing it. In the state of California, it's a $250 fine.
So you can't use, so if he gets a cut, they have to use a new one for me?
Correct. Oh. If they get caught reusing it, it's a $250 fine in the state of California. Every single state has a fine.
So, all right, yeah, because my son doesn't use a sponge. He just picks his hair out.
You never used it before?
Nah. So
get him a comb, bro. I'll get you one.
So
for the house.
Appreciate it. Well, so this is like the new Afro pick.
It's the modern day Afro pick, bro.
Afro pick.
But it gets you the curls at the top.
It gets you the curls in the top.
Because that's the look that everybody wants these days.
That's kind of, I think it was like a Nick Young, like Swaggy P when he had it like that. And then I think Usher on his album. Yeah,
the burst fade.
Yeah, all the ball players have their hair like that. It's like, how big can you have it now? Because I see some dudes in here, it's like
Joel Embiid.
It's like SpongeBob.
Yeah. Shout out to Joel Embiid. Yeah. Probably one of the freshest
lines. Like Sideshow Bob. Like
but see, some of them, when they're that long, though, you don't really, when it's that long, you don't have to maintain it. But when you got hair just like our size, like if I have an afro and I go to bed, I'm going to wake up and it's going to be, half my hair going to be pushed to the side.
You do this long enough, it'll turn into dreads.
Yep. Yeah. Correct.
So,
starting point.
All right. So let's get into this story. So, all right. You have the idea. You realize that it's not the most efficient thing to have a tennis racket. You have the idea to shrink it into what it is now. So what are the steps? Because a lot of entrepreneurs have ideas, but getting it off the ground is the hard part. What are the steps that you took to take the idea from your head to a product?
You ready? Ready?
Ready.
Here's a secret.
All right.
Google.
Okay. Mm.
Google and YouTube. That is it. I am not. I'm very good with numbers. That's the only thing that I would give myself that I'm like great at. I'm not an engineer. I googled on YouTube like the hell out of it. And what happened was that I was trying to figure out a way how to shrink it. Nothing came up. And right after Shark Tank, before I was on, I was just watching it. This show came on. I'm like, how to invent something. And it was talking about 3D printing. I was like, what the heck is 3D printing? I go to Google. What is 3D printing? It talks about you need a CAD drawer. I was like, all right, cool. Go to Craigslist. CAD drawers for hire.
What is that? What's a CAD drawer?
A CAD drawer is like a digital image that will give to the printer, a 3D printer, that will allow to print whatever you're trying to like do. So it's like the blueprint for the 3D printer.
Okay.
So I go to Craigslist and I try to find a CAD drawer for hire and I interview like maybe five or six. I vibe with one. I tell him what I need. He tells me like, yo, give me the dimensions. I give him the dimensions. I go, I want it to fit in my pocket, measure my back pocket. Can't be this big. Has to be a little bit smaller. Send it to him, pay him his money. He sends me the file. Then I go to Google, 3D print shop near me. And I find a print shop near me. I go, we print it out, go to a tennis racket store, get it hand strung, and then done.
So this was made in a 3D printer?
No, not original? This.
The original?
The original one. The original one is this big, bulky one. I still have it. It was hand strung. They first, like, what, 2000? The first, like, 2,000-3,000 combs were hand strung.
Yeah, so hand strung.
It looked like an actual tennis
racket. Like instead of having the stainless steel wire mesh, it was actually, like, hand strung. In a tennis shop.
So, if anybody's ever played tennis, if you haven't, that's like the wiring that.
Correct, the nylon strings.
And nylon strings. And so you switched to stainless steel. Why?
Because I couldn't scale and it was costing too much.
Okay.
So initially, I never wanted to turn Twisted Up into like a business because I didn't know how big it could be. And I wasn't going to leave like a six-figure job to start something that I thought was very niche, right? It was for African Americans that have hair that want to wear their hair a certain way. Like, how big is this market? And it wasn't until my barber gave me a call and said, yo, I just got fined. If you don't turn it into a business, I'm going to. So then January of 2017, I did a hair show in Long Beach, sold out. Then I went to Bronner Brothers, sold out, did BarberCon in March, sold out. And then the Connecticut Barber Expo in April, sold out. And after I sold out at four shows, I just turned off the faucet in real estate and mortgages and made this a
full. These are the top hair shows in the country?
By far. For like, if you're trying to do like any type of barbering show, I would say the last three for sure. Definitely BarberCon in New York. It's a great platform. I love it. Connecticut Barber Expo and Bronner Brothers, if you're trying to do anything for the culture.
So the initial barber that you showed, you had was it this prototype or were you?
No, it was the actual prototype. Yeah, okay. I can send you a photo of it, bro. It's or a video of me using it.
And they knew like, this is it. This is going to be genius.
Yeah, he was like, yo, you, I just got fined, bro. You gotta sell this. And if you don't sell this, then we're going to have a problem. So I did it.
So you had a, you want to go?
No,
I was saying you had kind of breezed over it, but you had a six-figure job.
Yeah.
You had real estate.
I have real estate and mortgages, yeah.
A lot of times people think that, you know what, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to start this journey. That wasn't your path. Why?
Never. It was never my path.
Why'd you take that route?
My mother. So, God, hey, Mom, don't hate me.
Shout out to Trinidad.
Yeah, you know, I'm a West Indian, right? So, like, academics are huge. It's very used, and you have to go to school or get out. So when I decided to drop out of college, I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. But I know I didn't want to live at home with my mom because I didn't want to be told what to do. That dynamic just didn't work out. I feel like every man gets to a point where they're just like, stop telling me what to do, right? My fear of going back home drove me. So I was a server. I saved up enough money for me to move out and never go back. And then I had a goal. And I was like, yo, before I hit 25, I'm gonna have $100,000 in my bank account. How can I do that? Work three serving jobs, live off one, save the other two. So I did that more than I wanted to party. I did that more than I wanted to buy Jordans. I did that more than I wanted to hang out. Like, I had no life for 2.5 years and I saved $100,000. So by the time I hit 25, I had it in my bank account and then I ventured off to real estate. And that was my principle. Like, I will always have X amount of dollars in my account, but the rest of the money is for me to experiment. And as I started gaining this confidence that to try new things, I just kept doing it. So I would never fully quit anything. I must have cash flow coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with Twisted Up. Not until I did 4 shows and sold out, I wasn't going to just go quit, but I had some money that I can go figure out and test the waters and see how big I can make this.
So, all right. When you start the company, how much money did it take to get the company off the ground? And what was your first initial push as far as marketing?
I can tell you this. Without Ace, this probably wouldn't have been as big as it is, because he worked for me for free for a year. Mm. Like,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know it was going to be this big. It was just one of them things where, you know, like, you got a best friend and you got somebody that got an idea, and every time he's just like, hey, you know, I got this coming up, or I got a video, or that one time we didn't have no units and we was in the warehouse till 2 a.m. We had to sneak in the warehouse and work in the warehouse till like 2 a.m., 4 a.m.
Like 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. shifts, just to make enough units just so we have enough for the shows that we're doing.
So you guys known each other since... like childhood, or you
know, like just
2015, around there.
So when I met him at the gym, that was when like Twisted Up was just getting started.
Or when
like,
he was giving him buckets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When
I was giving him buckets. We want to change this narrative right now.
All right. So,
but like north of 100K.
100K.
North of 100K.
North of 100K. So, all right. So you start with 6 figures from your own personal savings.
Yeah.
And that's to actually manufacture it in bulk.
To buy the molds. The patent was expensive. Trademark was expensive. Yeah.
All right. So what's the process of getting something patented?
So when you apply for a patent, you first obviously need a lawyer, and then you need to know what lane you want to go down. There's a design patent and there's a utility patent, and both of them have 2 different functionalities. So a design patent just protects your design. A utility patent, there's an actual use, right? So it can be written vague, and anything that falls under that description, regardless of what it looks like, is still going to infringe on the utility of your patent. A design, if I had a design patent and this was circle and you came out with a square, you're not infringing. You changed the whole design. I have a patent on what it looks like. Mm. So based on the education that was told to me by a lawyer, I decided to go down the utility patent, because I wanted to make sure that no matter what it looks like, that I am protected. And then once you go down that path, then you have to do filing. And it takes a while. It takes, I mean, close to 2 years to get a utility patent published. So you gotta have patience, and you gotta have a good lawyer, because it's a lot of back and forth with the examiner. So you're gonna get, maybe after, I say like 8 months or a year, you get an examiner assigned to you. And then there's this like back and forth between your lawyer and the examiner telling you, oh, this is too vague, or this can't be done, or so forth. And I got a lot of back and forth, because my patent, how it was initially written, was a tennis racket fell underneath it. But my lawyer was arguing, saying that there's never been any proof that a tennis racket can be used to twist your hair. No one's ever used it. So we could still be able to push this. So we had to change some lingo just to get it granted. Yeah. But when it did, I was protected.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, even from the patent standpoint, I'm looking at it like, what qualifies as a tennis racket? It needs a handle.
Correct.
Right.
So, but also, a tennis racket is for to play sports.
Play sports, and you're not doing that.
Correct. And it's proof of concept.
Right.
So the examiner was saying, well, a tennis racket exists, so therefore, you can use it to twist your hair. But a tennis racket was never intended to twist your hair.
Right. Right.
The utility for it was never to use to twist your hair. So you take my comb, and now all of a sudden you use it for a strainer or a cheese grater or whatever you want to use it for. You know what I mean? Like, you're not infringing on my patent, because my patent is for hair.
Yeah.
It's a completely different utility.
Very specific.
Correct.
Mm. So now you're protected. If somebody tries to make this design.
Any shape that encloses a woven material that is used to twist hair, you are infringing on my patent.
We come from New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know you got a great story about the city of New York.
Yeah.
We got a lot of salons.
Yeah, a lot. A lot.
Can you tell us about your trip to New York?
You know, I love New York. Again, to any entrepreneur, you could probably relate to this. It's your baby. This is my first thing that I've ever created from scratch, and to see it get knocked off, it started to affect me. And as a man, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. And I was having a conversation with Ace, and What's that name of that movie? Taken?
Taken, yeah. I will find you.
Yeah, you remember that speech when his daughter?
I will find you, yeah. I will hunt you, and I will kill you.
Yeah, there's a certain skill that you know when you want to find you, and like you don't want to. So like I went on a mission, man. I went to New York, was the first stop. Shout out to every single person from the bottom of my heart that DM'd the page, told us like, hey, you know, here's knockoffs here. And when I landed in New York, I just didn't know that you guys just have just so many beauty supply stores in one area. I thought I would be driving a lot, right? So when I got a location, I would go to that location and I'm like, yo, there's like 30 other beauty supplies. Let me just walk into these and see if this store has it. Chances are maybe another 10% here has it. And yeah. I would just walk in and walk out and try to find it. Calmly have a conversation with the owners. Let them know, hey, I'm not after you. I'm just trying to figure out where this is coming from. I had to collect the evidence. And once I ended up collecting the evidence, I ended up, you know, suing four main distributors for a non-disclosed amount that we won.
So you're pulling up on people.
Yeah, I put up on, I don't even know how many.
Well, shout out to the people out here in Cali, too, because there was some knockoffs down in my area, too. And people going to the store and, hey, you know, this store is coming. So he gave me the papers and
yeah,
shout
I think out it was over 100 stores, bro.
So you went in New York City?
Overall. Like in New York, New Jersey, North and South Carolina, Virginia, Florida,
Texas,
Michigan, California. I went to over 100 stores in 3 weeks.
And you're handing out cease and desist letters?
Cease and desist letters, confiscating the knockoffs, letting them know what they're doing is violating a U.S. trademark law as well as a U.S. utility patent law. Feel free to contact your lawyers. I am going to be starting a class action. I don't want you to be involved. Just let me know where you got it from.
So you had a class action lawsuit?
I wanted to start one. That was my thing. I wanted to start like, yo, you're selling something that is, you're infringing on the United States trademark and patent. I wanted to start a class action, but I don't want to involve you guys. So to make this easier, so you don't get sued, I would just delist you guys. Just let me know where you got it from.
So you're walking into stores, handling cease and desist letters, hoping that everything goes well.
Smile. No, we got cops caught on me.
Cops caught. That's what I'm thinking. How? Yeah. I mean, you're in New York, so like you're taking things off the shelves. Like, y'all can't sell this anymore. This obviously probably wasn't always a smooth process.
No, man, we got cops caught on me maybe like 10, 12 times. And it was, and the cops said, you know, you can either do it or, you know, you can face the law. And when the cops came, they still gave me the product because you're breaking the law. Like, I'm not trying to be a bad person. Like, you did not know that you were breaking the law. You now know.
Right.
I can't knowingly leave here and let you still sell it because you're going to be breaking the law. You now are aware. So give me the product, sign this letter, you won't be sued, and let me know where you got it from.
And so you find that part out, right? You find out who's manufacturing, who's distributing. Now there's a lawsuit going towards them. What's the next step?
So that's the beauty part. And I want everyone to really understand this. A lot of people say that a patent pending does not protect you. And that's only like half truth because it does. So if I send you a letter and I say, hey, my product is pending and you continue to sell, you're not breaking any laws because it's not granted. Mm-hmm. But you have been informed that I have applied for a patent and it's pending. Mm-hmm. If it does get published, I can come after you for damages when that letter was sent to you while I was in the pending process, because you were informed that there was an application and you may be breaking the law if it gets granted. You chose to roll the dice. So the beauty thing about it is that, again, have a great lawyer. The distributors that were bringing it into the States, they all got cease and desist letters long before I did the tour, long before my patent was granted. So because I had evidence and it was dated, all of them had to pay.
Where were these distributors? You said they into the States. Where are they coming from?
So how the beauty supply chain works is like redistributors, distributors, and beauty supply stores, right? So there's a big guy that resells to like these distributors that sells to like the beauty supply stores. So all the knockoffs were coming from obviously Asia, you know, China and somewhere in Korea, and they would just ship it out here.
So you received damages?
Yes.
Large sum?
Yes. Yes. And a lot of people just think entrepreneurship is like this lime life, and there's a lot
that's
of work.
Well, that's part of it too. And it's like, you know, you have to be able to understand the law.
Yeah.
You have to have a good lawyer.
You have to, you know.
Great lawyer. Can I give my lawyer a shout out?
Yeah, what's his name?
John. John D. Tran, Patent Law Group. John D. Tran, shout out to you, man. I love you very much. Thank you for all you do.
Where's he based out of?
Irvine, California.
Okay.
Yeah. Rema Law Group. R-H-E-M-A.
He's going to get a lot of business from you. So, but not, but that's another, like, revenue stream, too. Like, I'm saying, yeah. Like, you could potentially make a lot of money on that. So it's like for entrepreneurs, it's not just a matter of just loving your product and selling your product and marketing.
Protect it.
You got to protect it. You
got to be willing to fight for it. Protect it.
You got to be educated. You got to. That's all part of business as well. It's a lot that goes into business.
Yeah, that's a lot. So we when did we start? What's the big moment? Obviously, we got the Shark Tank, but you guys were making money before Shark Tank.
Yeah.
So how do we start making money? Are we going to barbershops saying you got to test this out? Do we get a storefront? What are we doing? How are we getting into people's hands?
Oh, man. I don't know. I just got to give shout outs to people because I can't take full credit for this, right? I'm listening to Gary V, and I'm trying to figure out. My first year, we did $115,000 in sales, but we didn't make much in profit.
What's the price point?
On
the actual...
With taxes and shipping, it's $24.95 straight to your house. And okay. You never have to replace it. Comes with a 30-day manufacturing warranty. And you know,
what just happened, bro?
You know, all day, bro. Never got to replace it. One time buy.
Gotta be ready at all times.
All day.
That was an assist.
Jesus. But I was trying to figure out, like, yo, I did a lot of traveling. I went to the East Coast a lot. And we did a lot of hair shows. And I was like, yo, this is a lot of work for a little bit of money. Like, I gotta make a pivot.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to Gary Vee, and he says a thing that, like, yo, if you are an entrepreneur and you're not doing Facebook or Instagram marketing, you are creating career suicide. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, let me Google and YouTube how to do this. Mm-hmm. And I Googled and YouTube how to do this. And my trial run was like 1 month. And then my first 2 months, we did $300,000 in 2 months.
Wow.
Just doing Facebook, Instagram.
Facebook ads?
Facebook, Instagram ads, bro. Just it blew the ceiling out of the water. And then China shut down. Everything was made in the United States except the wire mesh. It was coming from China. And then China had a pollution. And I couldn't get product for like 2 months. And I decided, you know, I want to go on Shark Tank. I want to see if I can actually get a deal and get the mentorship. Mm. And I got rejected.
Not once.
Went back the second time, got rejected.
Not twice.
Went back the third time, got rejected. And then the fourth time when I showed up, I didn't even have to pitch because the person that was interviewing me, her coworker used my comb. And he knew exactly what it was. And he was like, you're going through.
So what's the process to get on Shark Tank?
And there's so much that we can't say. We're not allowed to talk about it. You sign a lot of like
NDAs
of the process. But I would tell you this. I think there's like 50,000 people that apply and maybe like 800 get callbacks. And then out of that, maybe like 300 gets to actually pitch. And it's not called the deal show. I thought this was like fully BS. Like I thought everyone that got a deal got to air. But like, no, that's not the case, bro. Like they have to air some people that don't get deals, right? Yeah. So you're not guaranteed to air just because you have a deal.
So even if you get a deal, you still might not get on television?
Correct. Which again, I thought it was just total BS. I'm like, yo, how are you gonna have these people that are worth millions of dollars invest hundreds and thousands of dollars in a company and they don't get the publicity? But you have Shark Tank, which is a TV show, and then you have the business side, which is two completely different things. Yeah.
So going on Shark Tank, you can talk about like the offer because that's public, right?
Correct.
So what was that for anybody that didn't watch your episode?
It was $225,000 for 15%.
$250,000 for 15% of your company, and that was Damon John and Mark Cuban.
That was the offer. That's not what I got. Yeah. You gave it so a little bit what ended up being negotiated was $225,000 for 25%. 12.5% to Damon, 12.5% to Mark.
Oh, you wanted 15. They wanted.
Yeah, I valued my company just over $1 million. They gave me I think 900 and something thousand valuation, but I wanted the mentorship. And again, I'm very big on culture. To get Damon, to get Mark, I couldn't.
Yeah, you like went into it with those two in mind.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I knew Robert wasn't going to go with it because he wouldn't understand the product. I knew Lori may like it, but she wants things for the masses. And regardless, no bad beef, but like, I believe you got to be able to have a conversation,
yeah.
I don't feel like me and Mr. Wonderful will ever get along. So,
damn, Kev.
Yeah, I'm just being honest.
I want to come to you for a second because we spoke to him a while. He was doing real estate. He was making six figures, but you worked for free. So I'm interested in seeing what you were doing during this time while you're not making any money from Twist Up to say, you know what? I believe in my friend. I'm going to do this. I don't care what it takes.
I love you, man.
like job-wise what I was doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, I was doing everything. Kind of just depends on the month or the year. But I was coaching basketball. I model on the side too. I was reffing basketball and football, and then I was working at the Boys and Girls Club. So I was kind of just, you know, bouncing all over the place really. And then the free part, you know, I never even really asked for no money. He said, "Hey man, you know, we after Shark Tank." You're going to get a pay raise. But, you know, I mean, when you have a like an entrepreneurship, if you can have like somebody by your side that can, you know, do the dirty work and get, you know, anything that you need that. It's kind of like a basketball team. You need that star player that's going to just get down and dirty, not care about the lights, not care about the fame. And that's kind of how it happened. And then we just ended up here. Like, I look up like 4 years later, I'm like, wow, like we went on Shark Tank. Like, it don't even feel like it because I'm just here just for the – you know, partnership and just because that's my bro. So
everybody has a part to play. It's like Ben Wallace, like, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to D.
He made it to the Hall of Fame. Rebounds, like, you know what I mean? Defense.
Dennis Rodman.
You know, everybody's not a scorer. Everybody's not going to be a superstar player, but you need people to do different things to win a championship.
Facts.
Plus, when your mind is right, when you're doing it for the sake of, you know, you really love your product or you believe in someone else's product that they're rocking with, like the sky is the limit. But if you're doing it in a sense of we're going to make X amount of money or we're going to go on this TV show or we're going to do this podcast, then you're probably in entrepreneurship for the wrong reasons.
Facts.
So going back to the Shark Tank conversation, all right, you get the deal, $250,000, 25% of your company. All right, now what happens the next day? Like, when do you actually start working with the guys?
So this is why I feel like I think Mark really vibes with me, because when I got it, right? Well, we got the deal. They still have to do the due diligence, right? So they go through you. I don't know if anyone's ever been audited, but like, I don't advise it. Like it's a headache. They comb through like your financials to make sure what you said, what you represented was true.
Oh, they can do the deal and still not do the deal?
Correct. They have to do their due diligence. So it's just a handshake. So then they go and they take your 12-month trailing, you know, EBITDA, your P&Ls, your cash flow statements, and they comb through it and they make sure that what you said was accurate before they give you that money. So after we shook hands and got the deal, the money didn't hit my account for like maybe 6 or 7 months later. Mm. But when it hit my account, I like teared up because it's real, right? I teared up for like about a day. And then the next day I sent him an email. I was like, yo, like, I have an obligation to pay this back to you. Like, it's not, I haven't made it yet. There's no, like, whatever I need to do, like, the mentorship starts now. And we had the conversation. Damon and I had the conversation. We talked about the strategy. We figured out what we were going to do, how were we going to execute, and where were we going to spend the money, how much money is being allocated to marketing, which is very huge. Like, cost of acquisition is, I don't care what product you're selling. It could be a very good product, or it could be a horrible product. There's a lot of people that have great products that make no money. There's a lot of people that have horrible products that make a grip load of money. And it's marketing. It's how are you going to get customers onto your product? How are people going to see you? And if you have the best product in the world and no eyes, you're not selling nothing.
So what was your marketing strategy?
It's, you got to figure out how to have that conversation with our customers, right? So my demographic, depending where I'm selling, right? If it's barbers, if it's beauty supply stores, or if it's to the culture, I have to figure out what makes them click and buy. And for the culture, it was providing something that was funny, but also educational. And when I did that, my best performing ad year to date is me dressing up in a lab coat.
Yeah. And, with a sponge.
Yeah. And explaining the difference between a sponge and a hair comb, right? Yeah. And it does way better than any influencer. It does way better than any celebrity shout out. And it just works better. So that's me listening to my audience. They want to understand the difference. They want to be educated on the process, and they want it to be funny. And once I figured out that little snippet, I just kept pumping ass that way like that. And it just, skies was the limit.
find the information. Yeah. So after the first year that you've now got the investment, how did the sales take off? Like,
he had no life. Yeah, man.
I was working.
Yeah, we were working, man. We couldn't keep up with demand. So Ace and myself and one of my other boys would be in the manufacturer after the manufacturer ran our units and after hours to run more units because we just needed to keep up with demand. It was insane. We went from 330,000 to like 1.2 in a year, like a 300x growth. And the next year, double that. And it just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And I'm just very grateful to have this experience and the mentorship.
What was the process like of finding a manufacturer? I know you, that was early on, but what was the process
Google
like?
Google and YouTube, man.
University again.
Yeah, man. There's a website that I found on Google called thomasnet.com. And it's a manufacturer Craigslist. It's pretty much just operates like Craigslist, but it's for manufacturers. And you plug in the material, you plug in your zip code, and it spits out in a 30-40 mile radius how many manufacturers are around you. And it turns out where I live in a manufacturer hub. Never knew this. Santa Ana, Tustin, there's like 40 different manufacturers out there. So I was literally like a drive and a skip to talk to these manufacturers, and I just interviewed about 10 to 15 of them, vibed with one. And we figured out, they took the wheels. They figured out what they were going to do. And for me, my biggest thing is communication. Like, price point's important, but it's not the all ends. Like, I have to be able to talk. I have to be able, like, when things go sideways, like, I got to be able to get you on the phone and we need to have a conversation. I need to know why you didn't meet that deadline, and I need you to have an open and honest conversation with that.
So as far as the mentorship, you know, what is it?
Priceless.
What is it like? Because, you know, obviously it's very rare to have a billionaire as a mentor, a business partner. So what are some of the key gems, jewels that you have taken away from working with Mark, and what does that mentorship look like?
There's no secret sauce. He will always say just work ethic, right? Which I've always had. But watching how he moves, and no matter how much money he has, Mark stays humble. Like, the fact that he still gets on the phone or on an email and has conversations with me outside of Twisted Up, about other venues, now that I have money, where to park it, what to do, like, what are you looking into? Like, it's crazy. And the thing that I take away most from him, time is money. Like, time, like, he has all these companies, but yet he has, like, these people that you talk to that represent him to help solve these problems. And if you need him, he's always a phone call or email away. But like, when you start to grow, you want to start to have your money start working for you, right? And when you're a billionaire, like, you have so many businesses, right? You have so many revenues of income. Like, you want to make sure that you
gotta empower other people.
Correct.
Do different things to keep your time free.
Correct. Like, Ace, like, there's no way that I could still do real estate and mortgages if I didn't have my boy Ace, because Twisted Up would take up way too much of my time. Sending 200-300 orders a day, like, how am I supposed to do that and then still argue with an underwriter?
So yeah. Is it just you two, or is there a bigger team?
So as far as that on an everyday operations,
yeah,
it's me, him, and then my CPA. And that is it, bro.
That's it. The big three.
The big three. And it's an online business, bro. We run like a $2 million operation, and it's crazy because everything is automated.
Yeah.
Fulfillment center is automated, right? The wholesale, he takes care of that, right? The orders that go out, he takes
Instagram
care of that.
Instagram, too.
Instagram. He runs the Instagram page.
You keep product in the warehouse, or it just goes from?
Both. So how we have it stepped out, not to just break down the business, but there's a wholesale side, there's a retail distribution side, and then there's a direct-to-consumer side. Direct-to-consumer side is all automated. It's all handled by some type of fulfillment center, depending on what location you're ordering from. Wholesale is a little bit more personal. Is automated in-house. So he handles the brunt work of that. I handle the orders, I handle the sales, and then he packs it and ships it.
So scaling, what are some goals for you moving forward and scaling and kind of, you know, taking it to the next level?
Again, I would just say getting the word out, right? And understanding the customer and figuring out where the brand needs to go. It's really sad, right? Not to get too deep in the subject, but like, it's 2021, right? I believe 2 years ago? 3 years ago? The guy that got, for the wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, a guy that was wrestling for a championship couldn't wrestle because he had to cut off his dreads.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a girl, a couple of African-American women that lost their jobs because they refused to cut off their braids. Yep. And
South Africa too, they had a girl that
for a while I was like actually like doing research and like, you know, posting it on a page to like spread awareness because I feel like that's our kind of like niche, like we, you know, we're for the culture. So
yeah, and it's sad that like it wasn't until like 2018, like maybe a handful of states passed a hair discrimination law.
But like I said, even in black countries, Jamaica, there was a case where a kid got kicked out of school because he had dreadlocks. South Africa, a girl had an afro and she got kicked out of school.
Correct.
Having an afro. So it's not even just in white countries, it's in black countries as well.
And what I found out as I started traveling to the East Coast, especially with the women that choose to cut their hair and wear it short and wear the short and natural, there's a journey behind that. Like they start to have like this self-love discovery, like, and it kind of brings you like emotional, right? Like it's they find who they are. They accept who they are, they love who they are, and they're not going to change it for nobody. And all of a sudden, they have this newfound confidence. And the same thing with guys. And that's why I'm saying, like, what you guys are doing, like, this is why I just love, like, what EYL is doing. There's you are hosting a show where you have people that look like us. I have twisted hair. My hair is natural. And I'm out here making money. I'm a CEO. And you having people that, like, is changing the narrative of what braids, cornrows, African Americans, what that looks like, what that means for us to make money. Like it's an honor.
It's empowerment as well, because it's like you said, people, it's a way to keep people marginalized.
Yeah.
And to, it's kind of like another form of oppression too, mm-hmm. supremacy, where it's like, in order to be beautiful, you have to have straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be professional, you have to have a low hair. Troy, I'm holding on for dear life, Troy. Yeah, no option.
Yeah.
No, listen, dictate the look before the look dictates you. You know the rules, man. But, stop it.
But for a long time, it was like.
You got the Michael Jordan, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't grow a hair, so I grew a beard.
You know, get the hoop earring, bro. You be solid.
But yeah, for a long time, it's like for men, you have to have a fade. You have to have a low haircut.
Correct.
You know, in order to be, quote unquote, a professional. And which when you think sad. About it, it's like, why can't you be a professional
with
natural hair, with an afro, with twists, with dreadlocks, with braids? Like, what makes that unprofessional?
Correct. And you're dealing with a society where, outside of this culture, right, they can wear their hair however they choose to. I have one style, low, right? Until mm-hmm. this hairstyle came out, low, right? And again, as I started traveling to the East Coast, as a culture, our style gets appropriated. Right? The way we talk, our music, all that. But the one thing that you can't appropriate, the one thing that you can't mimic is our hair. Because our hair is unique to us.
They've tried it.
Have you seen the video?
I've seen a few videos.
With the waves.
The Asian dude.
Yeah, he got the waves. He got the waves.
Yeah.
They even see your cornrows. Keep your scarecrows up.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, wake up in the morning, I'm gonna go put my hair on.
I mean,
real
but even
quick.
That, like, even when Bo Derek had the braids, it just became, oh, it's so exotic and all. But that was just braids. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was like whenever somebody of a different ethnicity does that, now it just becomes such an amazing look.
But for us, it's a necessity. It's how we wake up and go. Because without that, the culture knows. We have like an hour before maintenance. Sleep cute, right? Put your head down.
You mentioned the East Coast. What do you mean by that? You say you're traveling on the East Coast. There's not that vibe on the West Coast?
I mean, back when I was using the tennis racket and using like the comb to twist my hair, like this hairstyle wasn't really like up and coming on the West Coast like that. So when I started the company full-fledged in 2017, like on the East Coast, this was huge. This style was big.
And well, you'll see it like when they, in the comments, when people would talk like, oh, on the East Coast, like we've been doing that way before the West Coast.
West Coast catch things late sometimes, you know?
I had my hair like that once upon a time. I think it was high school, Mike, maybe.
But it was weird because when you had an afro, like you just had before the twisted up comb, if you had an afro, you would just pick it out. It wouldn't be messy because your mom wouldn't let you have it messy. Your mom would say, hey, I need you to pick your hair out. But now.
Is that also switch, right? Between the older generation and the younger generation, when the older generation still thinks that this is like a nappy, messy look, it's unprofessional. And the newer generation is saying, no, like it's professional. This is who we are. This is how my hair looks.
Yeah, it's a broader conversation that we definitely have to have, because it's like, even when Chris Rock did that documentary, Good Hair.
Oh yeah,
and you know, it's like I said, it's billions of dollars that's spent, but then the psychological
aspect, what to look like
psychological aspect of it is, and people destroying themselves, putting chemicals in their hair and all kinds of stuff where you don't even know that the long term effects of what you're doing to yourself, just to look a certain way.
Facts, and black women have it the hardest, man.
Yeah,
they have it the hardest, and it's sad. And I have a niece, and it's just to like see her reach for like the other doll with straight hair versus the doll that has the afro. Like it's like, okay, like why? And it's just, you just look at the television. You really just try to sit down and like program this, and you turn on the television, all the girls that are on television got straight hair.
Yeah,
are you, do you market this to women also?
I do. It's another market that I'm getting into. I want to do it right. That's my thing. Like, I don't want to disrespect them. I want to do it right. I don't want to be the guy, the black guy that's speaking for women, right? I want to make sure that whoever I get to sponsor that side of the company, they do understand the journey. They do understand the self-empowerment, the movement that they're doing. And, like, God bless them, man. Like, it's...
I'm thinking now, because, like, we went to Curl Fest. Shout out to the team over at Curl Fest. I think this would be great. A lot of women have natural hair. Short hair, they want to have the curls at the top. My sister-in-law has that haircut, so I'm just like, this would be great.
Yes, and
so,
I even did a movie.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
she
think
did.
It was like Napoli Ever After or something
like that. Yeah, she did. Snally
she did a movie. Yeah. She cut her hair off and grew it back.
They call it like the big chop.
Yeah, the big chop.
Do you have plans of taking this international, or do you already have an international
football? Yeah, so we got some... Yo, you can tell this story.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Shout out to the jumpers, man.
Man, so the similar way, kind of how I jumped with Noel, how he was doing this thing, and I'm helping him out. Like, we would get tons of supporters on, like, IG all the time.
The jumpers, that's your community? That's what you call them?
I just, anyone that has a vision and you jump, no question, no whatever, like, yo, I'm going to ride with you.
Like, no matter, like, ride or die. Like,
ride or die. That's why I call my entrepreneur spirit. Like, I have an idea. There's no, like, questioning if it's going to work out, if it's not, what if this happens, what if that, you just jump. Okay. Just do it.
So a guy, he actually is in New York, Leon. Shout out Leon. He was just supporting us. He was like taking pictures of the comb. He would you know, just vouch for us, say, hey, I need some combs. You know, he's taking it to his barber shop. And you know, like a year here went by, and me and Leon have a relationship, and I'm telling Noel, hey, you need to look at this guy, Leon. Like, this dude, he's taking pictures for us and stuff. So not only was I employed, Noel ended up employing Leon as like our professional photographer to do you know, product shots and stuff like that.
And then he took the comb to Guyana
and he's from there, and he got his own comb. So it's just like this, but it's green, and on the cover it has his own face on it. But he took the comb there and started talking about entrepreneurship there, started pitting into the barbershops there. And I thought that was like a real thing, because you know they say, like, Jeezy, I pit on for my city.
Yeah,
like he pinned on for his country. So the fact that he jumped and was able to get a salary from this and able to, you know, go back home and teach people about entrepreneurship, I think they have it. And there's this one store. They just built the store, and, like, he was a partnership of that store. I forgot the name of the store.
Yeah.
But he was a partnership of that store getting built, and the combs are being sold out of that store.
Dope.
Yeah, so we're in Canada. We're in Guyana. And we are a little bit in Europe. Not as big. I did a hair show out there by myself, and the market's massive.
Where was the hair show at?
In the United Kingdom. It's called like Afro Beauty or something like that in the UK. Okay. That was another story for another time, man, but I flew out there by myself.
Going places by yourself, man.
I mean, like I said, I'm a jumper, bro. Like, at the end of the day, what's worse than not trying is regret.
That's the Jordan quote. Yeah. I can accept not trying. I can accept failure. I can't accept not trying.
I cannot look back at 50 and be like, yo, I wish I would have done ABC. Like, yeah. I can accept losing everything. I can accept failing. Like, what you just said, what hurts me the worst? It's like, did you try your hardest? It's like a game. I'm okay losing the NBA championship if I played it. Because I tried my best.
Yeah.
It's nothing I can do. But like, if you like, yo, man, I wish I would have practiced harder. Maybe I would have won. How many times you get these opportunities?
Right.
So going forward, do you have plans on expanding the team and hiring more people?
Yeah. For the brand, I wanted to embody the journey, what the women are going through. I want the Twisted Up to similar to how Damon built his brand for us, bias, right? This is a product that allows our culture to twist their hair naturally that was made by one of their own. And the more of us that wear our hair this way and the more of us that embrace just the natural look, you are changing the narrative of how you see the culture. You can have braids or cornrows and be a doctor, be a lawyer, be an entrepreneur, be a successful CEO. It doesn't mean that you're a gangster. It doesn't mean that you're a hoodlum. It doesn't mean that you come from the streets. Like, this is how our hair is wear naturally. And this is who we are. This is why I love your podcast, man, your story, your what you guys are doing. Like, your narrative, you are hosting a place where our culture comes on and they see people that look like us from all ages making money. Like, there's no excuse, man. There is none. You can't use the excuse that I'm black and I can't be successful anymore. I know some have it harder than most. I understand that, but the internet's the great equalizer, and I'm a firm believer in that. Like, if you have access to the internet, you can change your life.
All you need is Wi-Fi and a dream. That is a fact.
And you guys are living proof of it, bro.
That is also a fact.
You guys are hosting a new story and with a new young person or an older person, changing their life on the internet every single day. Every single day. Wall Street Trap came out of jail. Look at him. Came out of prison.
Yeah.
Came out of prison, yo.
That's a common theme in some of our entrepreneurs. Yeah. But that, I mean, it goes to show you.
That's like, a fact, man.
It doesn't matter where you start. It's about what you do with your time and how you finish.
You can't change the cards that were dealt to you, but you can definitely figure out how you're going to play them.
How you can have the best hand, mm-hmm, what you dealt with.
Facts. And it's about a community. And that's what you guys are building. And it's really dope, man. Like, I'm very humble to be on this show. Like, you guys are.
You know this officially makes you an alumni.
Yeah, bro, whatever. Just let it be, bro. I don't even want. I just give me like a small little like.
One dirty
right there.
The EYL twisted up, though. Soon come.
Real talk, man. It's very powerful. I'm not kidding. I hope you guys in the universe, I'm putting it out there, I hope you guys really win the Nobel Peace Prize for the culture, bro. Like,
greatly appreciate it.
You guys are changing it.
I appreciate it. It's just the beginning, too. Like, yeah. Sometimes people catch on to things later. You know how social media is. Sometimes one post will blow up and or somebody will blow up. But, like, you could blow up and have money or have followers. But if what you're doing ain't really genuine,
the impact,
it's going to stop real quick.
Yeah. I'm telling you, impact. When I have kids, they're going to learn about y'all. I'm being dead. And if no one's writing you a biography, bro, get that done. I'm being dead, bro. Like, for real.
Noel's traveling with us.
For real, man.
I appreciate you, brothers, man.
That's greatly appreciated and humbling.
Thank you. Thank you guys for coming in, man. I really appreciate it, man. What would you like to tell the people? How can they follow you? Social media, website, all of the above.
Yeah, man. At Twisted Up, TwistitUp is our Instagram. Twisted Up Comb is our Facebook. You can find the comb on Amazon or our website, twistedupcomb.com. And for anyone that is an entrepreneur that wants to grab anything from this conversation, don't overthink it. Just jump. I'm a perfect example, man. I didn't know anything about stocks. I jumped, made some money in it because of you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You watch Market Mondays?
Yeah, man. I tune in, bro. It's dope. And at the end of the day, like, you can't be overwhelmed with what if or when are you going to get yours?
Yeah.
Ace didn't get paid for a year. Now his rent, car, cell phone is paid for by the company. Like, it's
stay down until you come up.
Yeah,
well,
man.
That's one thing we always talk about is effort is worth more than currency.
Oh, top.
You put that effort in, everything else will follow. But
trademarking that, man. I see how you nod, bro. I'm seeing how you nod in your head, bro. Don't take that, bro. Bro, it's effort's worth way more than currency, man. You can take $1 million now and not have the education, but you ever see a 30 for 30, that's why people go broke. They don't know what to do with it.
Yep.
Like, honestly, ask yourself that question. You want $1 million right now? Tomorrow you got it. What would you do with it? Go back to your habits. You spend it.
Yeah.
Not gonna
ain't nothing
it.
Gonna change. Gonna,
nothing's gonna change. And then in 2 years, you're gonna ask for $1 million.
When you don't know what to do, you do what you know.
We just had that conversation.
Facts. You did. Facts. It's I was just stealing it because you're gonna steal my quote.
Just, sure. Just so you know.
Facts, man. You got anything to tell them, man? Any advice?
Nah, man. Just keep. I mean, it sounds cliche, but just keep grinding, man. Just keep hustling, and then if you feel like it's cliche, then living proof is the guys right in front of us, yourself, and it's other people out there. That's all. We all in the same boat. We all in the same struggle. But just keep your head up, and just keep grinding.
Facts.
Appreciate y'all, gentlemen, man. Troy, housekeeping item?
I'll do it for Noel since he didn't say it. Oh, congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, thank you very much, man. I'm a little bit extra. I'm over here just fronting this, man. Yeah.
I thought you was married. You wearing the ring before you get married.
We got a 2.5 year engagement because she's in school. So I'm just like, yo, I want to celebrate it too. So this is ours.
I'm gonna apologize for him. He was a little nervous. Yeah. So you might have forgot about it.
That's an engagement ring?
Yeah. I'm being
congrats,
dead.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'm being dead, bro. Like,
that's the first time I've ever seen that.
I did not think I was going to get married. I'm being dead, man. Like, I honestly did not think that I was ever going to get married. My family, my friends can attest to this, man. Like, I'm happy. Like, I'm a better executor when I'm single. Like, I'm happy. And then you think you're happy and you find someone, bro, that, like, keeps the peace and, like, is what you need. Like, I'm still in that, like, happily ever after fairy phase, man. Like, I hope it never comes down. Shout out to my fiance, Grace. I love you so much. Thank you so much for all that you do. And I appreciate you wholeheartedly. Yeah,
Grace, I made sure you did. It's a big moment. It's called the biggest show. He almost forgot you.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody on Patreon.
Edit that out, man.
Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. That is our Proud to Pay program. Shout out to all the earners there. And shout out to all the earners in EYL University. Over 10,000 of y'all just taking the information and applying it and executing at a very high level. So shout out to y'all. And shout out to everybody that's been supporting the merch. Shout out to the entire merch team. Y'all are killing it. Yeah, man. Love is love.
Yes, thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.